And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, sustainability, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
It's late summer, and we're heading into the fall that will change our relationship to genetically engineered foods forever. The fall of 2012 will go into history as the time when we finally, as one of the latest democracies on this planet, established mandatory labeling of GMO ingredients and genetically engineered foods. We have an update on the Right to Know campaign for you. Yes, on Prop 37, the national implications on California's Right to Know, today on An Organic Conversation.
Yeah, I was driving in Brentwood, California the other day, and I was looking at all the corn planted along the side of the road, and the same when I was in Indiana a few weeks back. And a lot of it's GM corn, most of it's for processing. But as I was walking in a grocery store the other day, I found that they had white corn and yellow corn that was conventionally grown. But I didn't know if it was GM or not, because now, you know, like Walmart has said that they would actually start selling genetically modified sweet corn.
Yes.
And while it's only 1% of the corn we eat, it is our major source of corn we all eat on our dinner table during the summer.
Yeah, you're bringing up a great point of it's no longer some ingredients of the food we eat. It's actually fresh produce at this point, too, with sweet corn. The first year this summer that sweet corn, genetically engineered sweet corn, is allowed for human consumption and sold in grocery stores. And that's the opening gate of many other crops to follow.
Yeah, and I feel like if you're somebody who really isn't concerned about consuming genetically modified ingredients, then you really wouldn't care whether or not it's labeled, because it doesn't make a difference to you. You're fine with it either way. And there are, I think the statistic is more than 90% of people who are interested in having it labeled. So I feel like this campaign, it's so much more than even the presidential election, because we're not just talking about what's going to be affected in the next 4 years. We're talking about what's going to be affected forever in the future of food when it comes to genetic modification. So I'm eager to find out from our guest who's returning to the show how we can be really proactive.
Yes, we have Stacey Malcolm back, the director, the media director of the Right to Know campaign, who was a guest on our show in May when we introduced the initiatives that are going on in California and throughout the country. And this hour is dedicated to a campaign update on this also important Prop 37. Yes, on Proposition 37, the national implications on California's Right to Know.
Yes, but first, here's the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. USDA to examine validity of antibiotic-free labeling. Food Safety News reports that the U.S. Department of Food and Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service is looking closely at claims made on meat packaging in response to a letter from the Consumers Union. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vislak stated that the agency would investigate unapproved and unclear labeling addressing the definitions of antibiotic-free, no antibiotic growth promotants, and no antibiotic residue. Indian city installs composters in every police station. A police chief in southern India has ordered that all 20 police stations within city limits set up composting systems in an attempt to reduce the ever-growing problem of waste disposal. The new composting effort is expected to lead to more efficient waste management systems and encourage others to do the same on the heels of the controversial closure of the Villa Pilsala waste treatment plant. California Democratic Party endorses yes on Proposition 37. The California Democratic Party recently joined an overwhelming number of Americans in support of Prop 37, officially endorsing California's effort to label all foods containing genetically engineered ingredients. The Yes on 37 Right to Know campaign has received major endorsements from legislators as well as organizations and businesses. Recent polls show that 9 out of 10 voters in the U.S. and California support labeling, regardless of their political affiliation. And Tokelau Island is world's first solar-powered nation. Tokelau's first solar-powered system launched earlier this month as part of the project aimed towards making the South Pacific nation the world's first solar-powered nation. using only 4,032 solar panels and 1,344 batteries, the island nation will generate 150% of its electricity demand. Most of Tokelau's budget is paid for in aid from New Zealand, who welcomes the launch of the solar power system. The Tokelau Renewable Energy Project will see a solar mini-grid constructed on each of its three atolls, projected to save the nation around $1 million in fuel costs each year. And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Thanks, Jen. That's Jen Lloyd with the weekly update of what's going on in the world of green living and sustainable. Thank you, Jen, for that wonderful weekly update, the green headlines.
Yeah, this thing about the USDA examining these meat labels, you know, when I go to the store, when my daughters go to the store, when, you know, I pay a lot of attention to what I'm putting in my body or what I'm feeding my family or what I choose to eat or what I choose to support. And it's really important for me to know that these labeling or these labels are true. And I really applaud that they're going to check into these things because I know that there's a lot of misinformation around labeling out there.
Yeah, we do need to be able to trust that whatever we want to put our money into and whatever, you know, is guaranteed on the label. I mean, there's so many labels when it comes to chicken production, cage-free, free-roaming, you know, pasture-based, antibiotic-free, you name it. And we also know that governmental agencies are crazily understaffed and overworked. And I don't think there's an annual guaranteed spot inspection that comes with that. They do inspect, but per region selected, it's not like organic food where once a year you have a mandatory inspection by a third party agency that is accredited by USDA that goes out and checks up on your farm or operation. So for me, again, it comes down, organic is not perfect, but it's the only one where I can trust that what it says, it's on there, that's actually what it means.
Yeah, I think that if there is a way for us to look at how organic has become so successful and so trusted as far as being a label, being a stamp of approval, if the other labels can take a page from that book, then it becomes something that really has sustainability.
Yes, and even, you know, we know that the organic label, there's an organic standards board that looks at materials that are allowed. When the organic rule was released, I believe less than 70 ingredients were allowed. Now it's 250 that are, you know, that many people would like to have removed from that list. But still, you're right. It's the best food law that we have when it comes to avoiding pesticides and avoiding GMOs. And that's the topic of this week's show again. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And we'll take a quick break, but stay tuned for our first interview about Yes on Prop 37, the national implications on California's Right to Know campaign, making it mandatory to label genetically engineered foods and genetically engineered ingredients in foods. That and more when we come back right after the break. Stay tuned. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Today's topic is Yes on Prop 37, the national implications on California's Right to Know. Over 70% of all non-organic foods in the marketplace already contain genetically engineered materials here in the U.S. And the United States is one of the last democracies in the world that does not require food labeling for GMO ingredients. Unfortunately, our exposure to GMO foods, however, is no longer limited to processed foods, as we said in the beginning of the show. As of this summer, genetically engineered sweet corn is being sold in grocery stores near you, without you knowing anything about it. Whatever you may think about genetically engineered foods, we feel everyone has a right to know what they put into their bodies and what they want to support with their food dollar. We had a great show in May on the current campaigns that are creating a law around our right to know. And in this hour, we'll be hearing again from the media director of the California Right to Know Initiative with an update from the campaign as we're heading into the historic 2012 GMO fall, the year that redefined our relationship to food and democracy. Yes on Prop 37, the national implications on California's right to know, today's topic. And now with us is Stacey Malcolm, returning to the show. She's the media director of the Right to Know campaign, who's joining us from Oakland, California. Stacey, so great to have you with us again.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited, and I truly believe this is a historic opportunity, as you were saying, to influence the future of our food system. So we're really excited, and it's going to be a crazy few months ahead here in California.
And yes, we talked about in the show in May, we talked about why it matters for the country. Can you just outline again what's at stake?
Sure. So there is huge momentum and demand across the country for GMO labeling. More than 1 million people submitted comments on an FDA petition. 20 states have tried legislative attempts to mandate GMO labeling, and they haven't been able to get it done because of the intense lobbying of companies that want to keep this information hidden. In California, because we have the initiative process, we're able to take it directly to the voters. And so we went through that process. It was a huge process. It took us just 10 weeks, but we got almost 1 million signatures in that short time frame that we had to get them to get this on the California ballot. This was almost twice the number of signatures that we needed. And the reason that we were so successful on that is because there's huge grassroots energy across California. We had 1,000 volunteers out on the streets, many of the moms and grandmothers, you know, who aren't typically out petitioning for political issues, who are saying, we want to know what's in our food, and we have the right to know.
And so when you say 20 states across the country, that's almost half of all the states in the union. Many attempts were actually shut down based on threats of having the entire state being sued by biotechnology companies in the case of Vermont. Can you describe the situation?
Yeah, that's right. In Vermont and in many of the states, the situation was the same, which was huge bipartisan support. And that's why politicians have been eager to put this type of legislation forward. But the lobbying has been intense, just intimidating personal pressure, and then these threats of lawsuits, which the states are saying, you know, we're already having budget difficulties. We can't take on a lawsuit against these big companies right now. What Vermont did was they actually passed a bill through the Agricultural Committee saying that they will mandate GMO labeling, but only after California and two other New England states do so. So saying we want this to happen, we say it needs to happen, we're too afraid to do it first, so we hope California will make it happen.
So why the threat? What are they afraid of?
That's a great question. You know, we hear a lot about the wonders of biotech and the promise. Of course, a lot of that hasn't panned out in terms of how genetically engineered seeds are actually being used in this country. Most of it's around crops that are engineered to withstand pesticides or produce pesticides. But, you know, we don't hear many, there's a lot of misreporting in the press about what is really going on with biotech. And I think that's the big question. What are they hiding? They don't want Americans to know about genetically engineered foods, even though people in 49 other countries already have the right to know. And there has been, you know, less demand for GMO foods in those countries. But here in America, where we don't know, you know, now what we see happening is a huge percentage of some of our most important food crops, corn and soy, are now genetically engineered.
And just to follow up on that question, what I heard in recent weeks was that once GMO ingredients are listed on the label and are mandatorily stated on the packaging and people were to get sick, it would be a way to find out that this group of people had a common denominator. They all ate foods that contained genetic ingredients or, you know, containing some GMO foods. Is that the biggest argument, or what? Like, it just seems odd that companies would spend millions of dollars threatening a state with a lawsuit if they implemented GMO labeling.
It is. It's stunning, and we just found out that they've put $10 million into the opposition, and most of that is coming from pesticide companies. So, it's a great question. Why are they doing this? I think the biggest argument, the most important thing about why we need this is because we have a right to know what's in our food, and people want to know. But certainly, and especially given the lack of studies that have been done on the health effects, and we do see links to allergies. And of course, we see huge increases in allergies in the population, and we don't quite know why, but there are allergenic potential certainly for these GMO crops. And so labeling them would be a way, a very important tool for tracking health effects.
Well, Stacy, knowing that California is one of the biggest agriculture producers in the world, and knowing that that medical associations in our country and different bodies that people tend to trust are supporting saying to vote a no on Prop 37 because they think that the GM products are safe. What's really at stake for California and the country at large?
Well, what's at stake is the future of our food system and the democratic rights that we have, the freedom that we have to be able to choose for ourselves what we eat. I mean, these companies are fundamentally changing the genetic code of our most important food crops, and we're not allowed to know about it. That's just stunning to me.
Yes, that's Stacy Malkin, the media director of the Right to Know campaign here for California, but absolutely with an effect on the rest of the country, as the U.S. is one of the last countries, the last democracies on this planet that does not require the labeling of GMO ingredients. Stacy, we'll take a quick break, but stay tuned for the next part when we dive into the money that is being spent after the tobacco initiative in the last election, of what you are bracing yourself for and how people can get involved to help make Yes on 37 a huge success. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Do you have a passion for healing through healthful organic food? Become an expert in nutrition, the prevention of illness, and the promotion of optimal health. The Bowman College Distance Learning Program is a convenient, self-paced program that prepares you for a successful career as a nutrition consultant in your own home, on your own time, in a way that's organic to you. Start on your path to holistic health today with the Bowman College Distance Learning Program. Find out more at bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N college.org.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
Ooh, you play
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Today's topic is yes on Prop 37, the national implications on California's right to know. Coming up this fall, one of the most important elections in recent history and maybe in the history of this country. Whatever you may think about genetically engineered foods, we feel everyone has a right to know what they put into their bodies and what they want to support with their food dollar. We're speaking with Stacey Malcolm, the media director of the Right to Know campaign here for California. And Stacey, before the break, we were saying the implications are really, truly for the entire country, whether or not we can pass this in California, not just because California is the largest food producer, but also in the country, but also because many states are looking for California's leadership to be the first state to require labeling of GMO foods and GMO ingredients and would then follow suit. Yes?
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. As they say, as California goes, so goes the nation. But we certainly know that other states are waiting to see what happens here. They're saying they'll put forth their own bills with renewed vigor. I think this will increase pressure on the FDA. So if we can make it happen here, we can make it happen so that everyone across the country has the right to know about GMOs.
So let's get an update then. I mean, we spoke to you in May after the super successful, you know, endeavors to get Prop 37 on the November ballot. But what have the efforts been since then? What's going on in California? What are you getting support outside of the state? What's happening with the Right to Know campaign now?
So things are really heating up here. We have just about 80 days left, or a little over 2 months. We're in a really strong position with the campaign. The most recent poll from Pepperdine University showed 69% support. So that's fantastic, strong bipartisan support, all demographics. So that's great. We have a wonderful campaign staff up and running. Terrific, a website and a big presence on social media, and I really encourage folks to join up with us at carighttoknow.org and also on Facebook and Twitter. So we've got a lot of energy and momentum. We've gotten some great donations from a whole range of folks. We actually have 10,000 donors have given to the campaign online, raised nearly $1 million just this year from online donations. So that's truly a sign of the grassroots energy across the country. And also we're facing, we know, a huge, well-funded opposition. That, like I said, they just had a $10 million donation from pesticide companies, from big food companies, have given millions. And so, you know, what we're facing in the weeks ahead, we expect, is just a huge advertising campaign trying to misinform consumers with stories about how labeling is confusing and scary and too expensive and grocery costs will go up. And none of that is true. This is a very simple law that would require companies to add a few words to existing labels. It gives them 18 months to do it. So there's no case to be made for increased cost. But what we're finding, and of course you don't have to tell the truth on TV in election ads, so we're really trying to get out the message to folks to not believe what they're hearing about the scare stories and really look into what
yes.
Prop 37 is.
About that.
Well, so Stacey, with that, I mean, what got me thinking about this is during the last election, you know, big tobacco companies poured millions of dollars to defeat a tax measure and actually swayed consumers during the last couple of months. What other types of claims should we be preparing ourselves for, you know, during these next couple months when these ads, whether true or not, are going to be barraging the airwaves for consumers?
Yeah, that was a tough one to see what happened with the tobacco, because it looked even into the election day like it was going to pass, and then it lost by a slim margin. But actually, that gives me hope, because we have a lot of strong support and the opposition in our campaign doesn't have very strong storylines. People aren't believing that costs are going to go up from changing the labels. They know that companies change labels all the time. They're telling stories about lawsuits that just aren't true, trying to paint a picture about lawyers sulking around in grocery aisles, you know, waiting to tackle people or something like that. It's just a lot of inaccurate information out there about what the initiative is and what it would do. And one of their strongest storylines is, you know, it's perfectly safe. Don't worry. We don't need to label it. That's what we're seeing that they think is their strongest argument. And so we're working hard to educate people about the facts of how poorly this technology has been studied, how there are no long-term health effects. The FDA doesn't even require any safety studies. That's very surprising to people. And also we do see studies showing links to allergies and other health risks.
Well, Stacey, even if what they say is true, then what's the problem with having it being labeled?
Well, right. I mean, why hide it? They're saying on the one hand it's a great technology, and on the other, but we don't want you to know anything about it.
And it's fascinating. I said that in the beginning, but can you just add a comment to the rest of the world? It's now mandatory labeling in nearly every democracy on this planet. Yes.
Yes, that's true. And India just passed a law, and they'll have labeling in January. And China, Russia, all of Europe. Japan, Australia. We're pretty much in a lonely category, the U.S. and Canada, with not requiring GMO labeling.
Well, I feel really manipulated as a consumer to have them say, well, it's perfectly safe, so don't worry, we don't need to label it. That's like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I mean, they're making the decisions for us. They're saying, oh, no, we've got you covered. We're taking care of you. But that's not true. They're not in this to take care of us. They're in this to make money. And so for them to say, well, we say it's safe, so you don't really need to know about that. Why would that make us feel secure?
Absolutely. And these are the same companies, remember, that told us DDT and Agent Orange was safe.
Well, and even Stacey, I've been in the natural products industry for well over 30 years. And when I first started in the industry, we were talking about hydrogenated oil. And, you know, all we heard was every day, but this is safe, it's fine, you know, it keeps products stable on the shelf longer. That's why we're using it. And we wouldn't carry it in the stores where I was working. And then, 30 years later, we came out.
Talking
and
national
just,
ban. And
Yeah, national ban. And there was just a barrage of science that came out that said, well, actually, it's been causing all of these
cancer,
health problems for
disease.
Years. Yeah, and heart disease and things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, just anyone knows if an industry who has huge financial stakes in this doesn't want something and 90%, over 90% of the consumers do, it's really a question of democracy. It's not actually about the topic of labeling, even though that's a whole world in itself. But this is, for me, at this point, it's as important as a statement of democracy that you can't buy this country. This is what it comes down to in November with the election. Stacey, we want to hear how people can get involved. Everyone should do something if they can, whether it's money or a couple hours. I know you're going door to door. We want to hear more details about it. But it's time for the light notion of Mark's weekly update of the world of produce. Stay with us. That's Stacey Malcolm, the media director of the Right to Know campaign. Our right to know what we put into our bodies this fall, this November. It's at stake to finally take the lead and make a decision and have over 20 states follow California's lead. So really a national affair at this point that will define the future of our food forever. But before we dive back into that conversation, this is an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And here's Mark Mulcahy with the world of produce. What's in season, Mark?
Yes, and what's in season is something that we have all been picking this weekend, and that is the perfect time to eat if you buy them at the store, and that's blackberries. Earl, are you there on the phone?
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Earl. Welcome.
We've got Earl Herrick from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco, the voice of the market, on with us to talk about blackberries today. So, Earl, let's talk blackberries.
Well, I hope most of the listeners have been initiated in, you know, by family, perhaps grandparents, into the fine art of blackberry foraging, because that's really when you get to enjoy them the best.
I have the scratches on my arm to prove it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean the people that really know what they're doing, they wear the long sleeve shirts and they're very particular about what they're doing, bringing ladders with them. I mean, it's a big event.
Well, leather chaps. We're talking leather chaps.
Well, Helga, we're not going to get into your nightlife, but the other day, Earl, I was picking some blackberries and I thought, you know, my friend has a beekeeper's costume. I should put that beekeeper's costume on and then I could just really get into those bushes there.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that works.
I don't know. It's certainly worth a try.
We're talking baseball outfit, really. But how's the season, Earl? How do they grow? What are we expecting?
Well, you know, you can find them almost all over, everywhere. I mean, along stream beds is a very popular place, along country roads where they haven't been disturbed. They of course, you have the wonderful wild of blackberries, and it's turning into a great season. They love warmth and not being disturbed. So right now, and for the last couple of weeks, you know, is the perfect time. And again, you want to find a blackberry that's got full color. You may be a little challenged going into a store to find them. Perhaps your best bet might be a farmer's market, or your best bet is taking a walk with your friends and finding the secrets. I think the blackberry bushes can be as highly prized as, you know, foraging in the woods for mushrooms.
I'm fighting my turkeys every day for my blackberries.
The turkeys.
And it's interesting, actually, we had a season like 3 years ago, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, where there was none. It was a good year before, and then all of a sudden, the next year, there was literally no blackberry in the bushes. They had dried out early. I don't know why, if it was too cold or not enough water or at the wrong time, but this year the bushes are full. And does that mean we are seeing a good price in the market for organic blackberries if you do buy them at the store?
Well, we're going to see a pretty reasonable price. Again, there's not a lot of people that cultivate them for commercial.
And why is that?
Well, because it is so hard to get them ripe. For cultivation and to ship them, they have to back off picking them ripe, because when they're ripe, they're too hard to handle.
Right.
Because the berry berry itself is made up of different little cells, and they will break down. So they have to back off. And quite honestly, they're just not as tasty as what we can find when we go out and find them ourselves. So less cultivation commercially. So the price has never really changed much, because the supply is pretty steady and it's never an overabundance.
Right.
And if it is, it's a very short thing, which would be initiated by a hot weather shot. So prices are going to be stable. Quality is going to be stable. I would really encourage everybody to spend some time walking around, finding some great bushes, you know, and kind of earning your stripes and get those berries way back there. Get that.
Yeah, because the foxes and the birds can't get them back there. Yeah.
And is that all over the country that you can forage for blackberries? I think I remember seeing them in Michigan growing up even.
Oh, absolutely. You know, here on the West Coast, you find them all the way up into Washington, even into Vancouver. I mean, really, they're very hardy bushes. You can find them pretty much all over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's lots of other berries out there. I'm just going to knock off a couple. Of course, there's raspberries. There's dewberries. There are loganberries, olalleberries, marionberries. So the black one is easy to find because it's black.
Rickberry.
And again, when you find a ripe one, when it's nice and full, those little cells have expanded, and when they come off a bush easily, then you know what that's like.
Yeah, right. And within an hour, two people, mixing bowl full of berries, easy, right? And when you find them in the store, make sure they have just come in, because as you said, they do break down very, very quickly.
Yeah, you've only got a couple of days on them.
Yeah. Thank you, Earl.
That's great, Earl. I just want to make an announcement. There are no blackberries in Glen Ellyn, California, so don't bother driving up to pick them.
Thanks so much, Earl.
Thanks a lot, Earl. Always great. Earl Herrick from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco, the voice of the market.
Good talking to you.
Okay, you bye-bye. Too.
The first and only distributor of all organic produce who would say, no, go out and pick him yourself. That's just classic. Thanks,
really
Earl.
Great. So Earl was starting to talk a little bit about different berries, but you know, there are over 2,000 varieties of blackberries worldwide. And of course, that each of those varieties change throughout the season. And some of the more common names are Marionberry, as Earl was saying, the Cotada, the Waldo, the Loganberry, the Boysenberry. But now you start getting into, when you get into Loganberries and Boysenberries, that's actually a raspberry blackberry cross. So when you're looking for them, they all have just little differences of flavor, and they're all worth eating. So go out there and try a bunch of them. And when you do get them and the birds haven't gotten them, or you're buying them at the market or whatever, a cup of blackberries only has 60 calories. So that's 8 ounces of blackberries, and it has 50% of your vitamin C for the day. So, and then the last couple things about blackberries is you want to make sure that you rinse them before you eat them, because all those little nooks and crannies and the soft skin make it an easy place for bacteria or for pesticides. So make sure you wash them before you eat them. I have a hard time doing that when I'm picking them, but yet it's a good suggestion to do. So that's what's in season. They'll hold up for about 2 days if you can actually get them from the store or the bush to your house. So they'll hold up for about 2 days in their fridge. And that's what's in season.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
And, you know, one last thing I wanted to bring up. Sita was asking, you know, do they grow, you know, in many states around the country? They actually grow in every state in the country. So yes. You, if you are out there, wherever you're listening, you can find them somewhere in your state.
Yes.
So fun. And for every state in the country, there's a recipe for blackberry, black pepper sorbet. Super Ooh. Easy. If you happen, like Mark said, to make it home with them instead of eating them on the walk back, check out that recipe for a sweet cooling treat.
Yes, blackberries grown everywhere in the country, as are GMO and genetically engineered ingredients and GMO foods sold in every part of the country. 70% of all of our non-organic foods in the marketplace contain genetically engineered materials, as well as, ta-ta, for this year, first summer, fresh, sweet corn is allowed to be sold without any labeling at your grocery store near you. To change that, we have Stacey Malcolm on the show, the media director of the California Right to Know Initiative, who is working hard to make GMO labeling a mandatory requirement from this November on, with an 18-month implementation process for companies to label their GMO ingredients on processed foods and all fresh foods as well. Stacey, I know you are, this is the time, we had you on in May, and you were just shifting from a successful ballot listing for the November ballot to the campaign mode. What are you doing right now? How are you getting the word out? What's the best way for people to get accurate information as we are looking against millions of dollars that will be spent to sway voters that GMO labeling is not necessary? And even though over 90% of all people in the U.S. want GMO labeling, total bipartisan effort and support that, you know, we don't really need it or want it. So, Yes on 37, what are your efforts? How can people get involved?
So we are in the heat of campaign mode here, and we're getting lots of media coverage, doing lots of organizing, and we absolutely have it within our sights to win this. And we can win, and we will definitely win for sure if we have enough money to put our message on the airwaves. So the first and biggest need is just for donations so that we can get our Right to Know message out and in front of the voters, who are sure to be confused by many, many ads from the opposition. So for donating, you know, online, our website, carighttoknow.org, is one way to do so, or contact the campaign. And secondly, you know, one of our big strategies, and I think our biggest strength, is social media and our online outreach, because as I was saying before, there's just a huge fired up grassroots across California and also across the country of people who care about our food system, who want to know what we're eating. They want to know about genetically engineered foods. So we've got lots of environmental groups, the biggest consumer rights groups in the country, who are working with us. And so we have a huge reach online. And one thing you can do that's so important is to connect with us online. Sign up for our list at CA Right to Know. Linking back to our website, you can sign up on our website to volunteer. All these things are going to help us expand our reach so that we can have our own media outreach, essentially, to get our message out when we truly get into the heat of it here in October. And one of the themes for the campaign is 1 million more. We're going for 1 million more people joining us online so we can build that powerful network. We've already had more than 1 million people sign petitions and volunteer, so now we're going for 1 million more, and we hope all of you out there are part of that network, and you can do it by checking out our website and signing up at carighttoknow.org.
Hey, Stacy, a couple of things I've been reading in a lot of the editorials is that the young voters who came out so strongly in the 2008 election are not paying as much attention to the issues in this particular election. What are you finding with younger voters for this particular issue on the ballot?
Well, certainly we see in the polls that younger voters are nearly universally in support of this. So, you know, I think they're skeptical of what corporations are telling us and know that we need to make some serious changes in this country. And I do hope that young people in California are paying attention, because we have such an important ballot this November with several initiatives that are just critically important and will make big changes. So while you may be cynical about the presidential election and things that are happening on that level, there are important things we can get done through the initiative process in California. So I hope all young people, everyone, gets out to vote on the initiatives, and yes, on 37.
Well, in addition to voting, what about the volunteer effort? How can people help? Are there tabling efforts that you could use some volunteers for, canvassing, bumper stickers? What can we do to really put a lot of action around this?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's such an important piece of the puzzle. So we are doing tabling. We're going to community groups and trying to get endorsements. We're going to be having some demonstrations at stores. You've mentioned Walmart a few times, and we're very concerned about that. The first sweet corn, and it's got a pesticide in it, not on it, but in it. And so I think people are surprised when they find out that kind of genetic engineering is going on and is now in fresh corn. And we're also, you know, expecting to see the first GMO apple and maybe salmon approved within 6 months. So this is really a critical time now to give consumers the tools that we need to make choices for ourselves about what we eat.
So that said, when this ballot passes, yes, on 37, this proposition, what are the implementations and what is the threat of kind of a federal mandate that states cannot define labeling on foods? There was something we discussed in May on the show where potentially the federal government could, undermine the efforts.
Well, states clearly have the right to require this type of labeling. The Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act says that states are free to require labeling in areas where the FDA doesn't. And we already have seen Alaska do this, because they have a labeling law for GMO fish. What I
yes.
think we have to watch out for on the federal level is any attempts within Congress or within the FDA to preempt states' rights on this by passing something that would try to get rid of California law. I mean, we've seen that sort of attempt many times. I think that there's a strong enough network of NGOs and people pushing on FDA that won't happen. But that's certainly a concern. But I also want to say on that topic, I don't think, and I think there's pretty near universal agreement, nothing is going to happen at the FDA, certainly not this year. And I don't know if we can ever get this to happen through the FDA. This has to be done at the state level by taking it directly to the people, because that's the only way to bypass the lobbying pressure that's been put on all the agencies and all the governments.
Yes.
And we're the ones eating the food, and so we should have the say about whether we want it labeled.
And the time is now, and this is Stacy Malcolm, the media director of the California Right to Know campaign. Yes on 37, CaliforniaRightToKnow.org. That's CARightToKnow.org. To get involved in any way you can, and if you don't have time, and even if it's $20, please donate to this campaign. It will define the future of our food. It is defining the future of our food. And as you said, with sweet corn being the first fresh produce item right now, apples and salmon following, This is a floodgate that is being opened for all kinds of genetically engineered fresh produce items, where you just said the pesticide is in the food, no longer outside, sprayed, and we have no idea what the health implications are because of very lack governmental oversight. So this November ballot, California Right to Know, carighttoknow.org, yes on 37. Stacy, thank you so much for all your work, and I'm sure I'm getting nods here. We will follow up with you one more time right before that ballot measure in November is up for grabs for us. Good luck. We hope, of course, it will pass yes on 37, and good luck with the next 80 days.
And thank you for all of your work on it.
Yes, fantastic. And besides tabling and canvassing, how about listening to some great music? We have an update from the Musically Modified instead of Genetically Modified Festival in support of Yes on 37. Coming up is the spokesperson of the Musically Modified Festival. Stay with us. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at BowmanCollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N College.org.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com. The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we have an entire hour dedicated again to Prop 37. Yes, on Prop 37, our right to know about the mandatory labeling of GMO, genetically engineered foods and ingredients in what we eat every day. We heard from Stacy Malcolm, the media director of the California Right to Know campaign. That's carighttoknow.org. Of why this is a historic democratic time, and California leading the way for 20 other states to follow suit as soon as this is passed in November. So yes on 37. And besides all the great ways of getting involved, besides giving money and tabling and canvassing, you can also listen to a fantastic rock concert, a festival coming up, musically modified, much better than genetically modified, we believe. And we will hear from the spokesperson of that festival in just a minute, from Mike Cantor. But first, here's our very own chef Sita, Sita Rani Palomar, with her holistic bite.
Thank you, Helga. Well, the other day I saw a food truck with the slogan that said, "Admit it, you need a sandwich." And at that moment, I realized, my goodness, I really do need a sandwich. Because I've been on a pretty rigorous detox diet for a few weeks now. And while in many respects I feel great, the rapid release of toxins from your body is exhausting and it can make you feel a little bit ill. And many of us have undergone radical diets at one time or another for better health. And we stick steadfast to our commitment because we're invested in the results, whether it's clearer skin, weight loss, more energy, more joy, or the transformative recovery from disease. But after days of waking up nauseated or weakened in the middle of the afternoon, you may find yourself feeling like the only thing that will restore your balance is a sandwich or a cookie. And I think that there are times we forget to take into account the emotional health benefits of food. And that isn't to say throw caution to the wind and abandon your pursuits for vitality. And I certainly don't recommend that you go against your doctor's prescription or eat foods that are a known allergen for you. But if your diet is voluntary and you find yourself with a strong feeling that the only thing that will ease your discomfort is something that's not on your self-imposed diet, give yourself a little bit of credit for the good work that you're doing and allow yourself that healing choice of an item that might nourish you better at this moment. Our intuition with food is often clouded with internal voices of judgment, but our innate wisdom is the product of generations of cultivation. And while your body may have to work a little bit harder to detox that item, you're actually giving your entire effort a better chance for success by making it more sustainable. So if you need a sandwich, have a sandwich, feel better, forgive, and keep going. That's this week's Holistic Bite.
And as always, the Holistic Bite is brought to you by the natural beauty company Echo Bella. Here at Organic Conversation, it's all about possibility, interconnectedness, and beauty. And when it comes to clean, natural, and organic skincare and intelligent cosmetics, it's really difficult to find products that are truly made without compromises and still affordable. That's why we use Echo Bella. And we love the company's mission. It's all about saving and protecting the animals. So join us at mybeautybite.com. That's a site that's for our listeners only, with some amazing product offers and savings. Mybeautybite.com. That's Echo Bella's line of products. Amazing products. Check it out and let us know what you think. Mybeautybite.com. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
This hour dedicated to the California Right to Know initiative. In November, we will define the history and the future of our food and our democracy when it comes to mandatory labeling requirements of GMO ingredients in our foods, our right to know what we are eating and what we are spending money on. We heard from Stacey Malcolm. Again, more information is on carighttoknow.org on how to get involved. And now with us is Mike Cantor, who is the spokesperson of the musically modified rock festival that is being held in just a couple of weeks. Mike, are you with us?
I am here.
Tell us about musically modified. What is it and how did it come about?
Well, Musically Modified is an awareness event for Proposition 37. A portion of the proceeds, of course, is going to go to the Organic Consumers Fund, Right to Know, yes, on 37. You know, what better way to spread awareness than through music?
Yes. How much money are you, how many people are you hoping to see, and how much money are you hoping to raise?
Well, the hoping to raise really is going to come as we get closer to the event.
Yes.
The venue itself seats about 1,600.
Wow, nice.
And it's actually going to be separated into two events. We're going to have a pure food feast That's going to be for about 500 guests, featuring Chef Mateo Granados. And then that starts at 5. And then at 7, we're going to have our evening performance where we have an incredible lineup of some great artists.
Cool.
Great. So where is it? When is it? And can we talk about who's playing?
Sure. Yes and yes. So it's going to be Sunday, September 9th. Again, at 5 o'clock is going to be that Pure Food Feast, so definitely don't miss that. And then at 7 o'clock, that's when our evening performance starts. It's going to be at the Santa Rosa Wells Fargo Center for the Arts.
Nice.
What we have so far, we have a blues review segment featuring two-time Grammy-winning Rambling Jack Elliott. We have Grammy-nominated Maria Muldaur. We have Elvin Bishop, four-time Grammy-nominated Chris Kane. We have major label artist Surfer Blood. And then we have some independent movement artists like the Makepeace Brothers, Rob Herring, and Hawaiian YouTube sensation Makana.
Great, great. So how can people get tickets?
Well, you can actually go on to Wells Fargo Center for the Arts.org. Once you're there, there's going to be a little button in the top right where it says buy tickets. And then that will list all of the venues that are or the events that are happening there. And you click on September 9th, and there's going to be Musically Modified.
How did this come about? Why was in support of Yes on 37, why is this important for the world of music? What have you seen be expressed and come together there?
Well, you know, Proposition 37, as you know, is going to affect everybody.
Yes.
And like I had said before, you know, music is such an amazing medium because, you know, everybody loves music. Just, you know, music is one of those universal acts, just like eating. We all eat, and everybody listens to music, so why not combine both of them so that not only can you get the education that you need about the Prop 37, but also have a day where you can listen to some music, eat some food, and get an idea of, you know, what the whole thing is all about.
Yes.
Well, and we also
wonderful.
Talked about earlier in this episode the importance of the young vote, and I think it's so great that you guys are aligning music, which is such a defining activity for the young voters, with this initiative to label genetically modified ingredients. So I think it's a brilliant partnership, and I'm really excited to see how successful it is and how much it brings to the movement.
So are we.
And that is, again, at the Wells Fargo Center of the Arts, September 9th in Santa Rosa,
California.
California, yes. Tell us that website again.
WellsFargoCenterArts.org.
And if people want to stay updated, Musically Modified has a website or a Facebook following right now so that people can find out about musical acts and how to get information.
That's correct. You can definitely Google Musically Modified. We also are on Twitter. At Modified by Music.
Perfect.
Great. So if you're in California or if you're not, just come on by. This Yes on 37 affects everyone in the country, as we just heard from Stacey Malcolm of the California Right to Know campaign. Many states will follow suit when California passes this initiative, Yes on 37. That's Mike Cantor. Thank you for your effort of putting this rock festival together, Mike. Good luck with that, and I guess we'll see you there. We'll see you in Santa Rosa on September 9th.
I look forward to it, and thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
That's
right.
Mike Cantor, the spokesperson for the Musically Modified Festival, music festival that's coming up in support of Yes on 37.
That would make a fun road trip, right? Like people who don't live in this area, pack some snacks, drive up here, see some great music, support a great cause.
And it's so important. It's not just a great cause, actually. It's so critical. This is democracy at work. We will look at corporations versus 90% of the public that has said, yes, we would like some labeling, please. So, Yes on 37.
And
yes.
Yeah. And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer Kristen Ponger, studio engineer Robert Costa, news services Jen Lloyd, underwriting production by Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this episode or for any other, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
And follow us on Facebook /anorganicconversation for updates on the Yes on 37 campaign. We are your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye.